You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. And yeah, just like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. So, hey, listen, there's this one time of the week when I just sit back and enjoy the opportunity to hear somebody else who I appreciate actually lay it all out there the way she thinks about it. We call it Copper's Corner. She's good at what she does. I'm going to quit talking now and just say, Copper, the microphone is yours.
Copper's Corner, a safe space for hard truths.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. Now, finances are not my thing. I don't like to touch budgets, investing, or the like with a 10-foot pole. But in the spirit of being an informed and responsible citizen, I decided my next self-education project should be trying to understand Alabama's state budget. Fun. We all talk about hating taxes and wanting to know where our money is going. But how many of us actually do the legwork to track our politicians? Not many, especially younger folks who are already struggling to manage their personal finances. Well, I took a plunge into the migraine-inducing 503-page-long State of Alabama Budget Report. And let me tell you, I have problems and questions. Lots of both. Now, I've lived in Alabama for 3 wonderful years now, but it wasn't until recently that I gained a greater awareness of how Alabama's budget is structured and 2 massive problems with it. Now, many of you probably already know this, but for the other young folks out there who may not, here goes. 1. Alabama has 2 separate budgets, a general fund and an education fund. The education fund is fed by sources like sales and income tax, which can often increase, while the general fund is fed by more static sources. This year, the general fund is $2.7 billion, while the education fund is over $8 billion. Now, this has left me asking, why do we need 4 times as much money to teach math badly as we do for law and order, prisons, and healthcare? Well, there's a second problem. 93% of Alabama's budget is earmarked for specific projects, leaving legislators with control over only 7% of funds. This diminishes their ability to respond to Alabama's greatest needs of the moment. It also means they often have less awareness of where the rest of the money is going, as they don't go line by line through the funds that have already been allocated. Now, that made me feel a little better at first about being somewhat clueless of where the government is using my money. Even legislators don't know where the government is using our money. But wait, no, actually, that makes me feel worse. How have we gotten to such a place, and why is no one willing to do anything about it? I discovered a recent report from the Alabama Policy Institute detailing a plan for how to reduce the amount of earmarked funds in Alabama's budget to 25%. Somewhat recent, but that was back in 2020. Why has nothing been done since then? Are our leaders so weary from the current system that they just run out of time and resources? Do they just not want to rock the boat? Or is it that they personally benefit? Now, I know we have some wonderful folks in the legislature, but I also wonder, do we have to wait for an entire generation of leaders to die out of office before we can actually hit the reset button? Can we really say that Alabama is fiscally conservative? We have a higher percentage of earmarked funds in our budget than almost any other state. What kind of example are we showing to the rest of the country as we claim to be one of the most conservative states? Now, 12 years ago, we banned earmarking of budgets at the federal level, the charge led by the GOP. Last year, Biden undid this rule, and now conservatives are the ones benefiting the most. A report that came out this morning showed that Senator Shelby took away the greatest amount of congressionally directed spending from the $1.5 trillion fiscal omnibus bill that Biden signed yesterday. Now, these funds are for the defense budget, so are we okay with it then? If these funds go from the federal government to our military, then earmarking is fine. But if it goes to something the Democrats want, no, then it's dangerous spending. Or do we just want to snatch as many funds as possible through whatever means while under a hostile Democrat administration? This kind of inconsistent messaging hurts conservatives, though, especially young ones who are trying to establish a clear direction for how they want to vote and which policies best guard their interests and America as a whole. It makes it difficult for us to trust our leaders. We've been taught black and white concepts about fiscal responsibility, but we don't see them put into action. We see bills that Alabamians support, like a grocery tax repeal, sitting dusty and ignored. We're left to wonder if our leaders are incompetent, liars, don't care about what we want and need, or just don't align with our beliefs like they've led us to think. When Governor Ivey was pushing the gas tax, she basically called Alabamians children for not wanting to pay for things we need. But why would we trust officials with our resources when they seem to have lost all common sense? When they've let the corruption of the education system grow to such an extent? The system already seemed insensible to me. But then I saw in the budget report that the mental health and public welfare trust funds have to receive money from the education fund. Why does money go to education and then education gets to parcel it out to other areas? Just send it where it needs to go to begin with. Now, the conspiracy theorist side of my brain says that it's all a plot to keep citizens uninformed. I spent hours trying to get a handle on just the general organization and process of the state budget. And I'm still confused by the number of sources, the bills which seek additional funding, the complication of federal funds like those from the American Rescue Plan. There's often a mockery of younger generations who seem checked out, especially when it comes to more complex and specific political topics. But I think we're too hard on ourselves sometimes. America's political structure is designed off the idea that citizens will be informed and engaged. So all you have to do to shut down the voices of the citizenry is to create such a bureaucratic mess that the learning curve is prohibitive. Political gatekeeping? Of course, powerful people with their own agendas don't want average people getting in their way. Lawyer speak, bureaucratic talk, and messy numbers act as the bouncer at the door, keeping out anyone who doesn't have the education, time, or capacity to figure out what's going on behind the scenes, let alone how to do anything about it. Because it's not enough to just understand what's going on. We have to be able to respond, make new plans, change what needs to be changed, and solidify what works. If many young citizens are scrambling to simply attain a basic understanding of state finances, we won't be prepared to act when an opening comes to be more fiscally responsible. Like this year, when we have a massive surplus in both our state budgets. What a great time to repeal the grocery tax. But no, the legislature is much more interested in fighting over who will get the money from a lottery or gambling bill if they finally pass it. After seeing the record level of spending planned in this year's budget, and knowing of the surplus, I'm appalled to have to ask the question, why do you still want more of our money? You make money from liquor sales, sin taxes, sales and income taxes, various fees, even tobacco settlements. Our gas tax increases as prices rise at the pump, and you have more federal money than you can spend. Yet you still want more of ours. Is it just easier to agree on getting more money than it is to agree on how to use it? And then actually to work together and do it? Or is our trigger-happy spending a symptom of the fact that many current Republicans were formerly Democrats? They're forgetting the entire point of a state budget. It's to build our society and take us to a better place. If money is not accomplishing that end, what's the point? If you could do something more effectively by collecting less money than you can with buckets of surplus money, why wouldn't you do it? Because right now, you could build up Alabama at an individual and statewide level much more effectively by capping the gas tax that's hurting us all. If our leaders won't have our back in the good times, why would they in the bad? Thank God it's an election year. Perhaps it's time to vote in some truly fiscal conservatives to lead us to a better future. And that's Copper's Corner.
Wow. Wow. You went to that 500 some odd page budget, huh?
No, not all of it. I looked at the contents and, you know, skimmed a few places here and there. Yeah.
Good job, though. Now, I think I've said it on the show before, but did you already know or did you recall that there were two budgets in Alabama?
I learned that maybe within the last year. I forget when.
Yeah. I think I've talked about it on the show before. But,
right.
But the thing is, and you're right, the earmarking, when you add that to the split budgeting, we're one of only like 3 states in the nation that has split budgeting, where everything in the world, education, is in one budget by itself, and everything else in the world it takes to run the state is in the other. The thing is, though, to add to the question of the archaic form of budgeting that we do with two budgets and all the earmarks, is the fact that in years past, The teachers union used to be so strong, and they're still strong, but they used to be so strong that they got the legislature to align most of what we call the growth taxes. In other words, like in a good economy, sales tax goes up or income tax goes up. Well, those things only feed the education budget to it for the most part. All the stale things that never change, like property taxes, those feed the general fund, which is always struggling to catch up.
So it's like, no wonder she was desperate for a gas tax. Because if you only have a static amount and 7% to work with for changing needs, then of course you're going to be scrambling for more money.
True. And then on top of that, I mean, would you run your household that way? What if I told you, what if you had a husband and wife, both had an income, and the hot water heater went out? And like the husband says, hey, honey, we're a little short in my paycheck. Can you pay for it with your paycheck? No, honey, I'm sorry. Mine's only for the mortgage. We can't use it for other things. It doesn't work like that in real life, and yet it does in Montgomery. It's crazy.
I'm sure it's maddening to the people who have to work with the system, but then I'm like, so why don't you change it? What's stopping them?
Listen, myself, and I'll tell you, two of the lead proponents for trying to get it changed were myself and former State Senator Paul Sanford, who's now running for Congress. Paul came up with this plan. I loved it and became like, you know, the champion calling for it. It was called the 78-22 plan. Basically, what we did was we said all monies go into one pot, just one, and then we'll split them out in a pro rata share. 78% always goes to education, 22 would go over here to the general fund. But what that means is the general fund is not stuck just with stale non-growth revenues.
Yeah.
And if the state's in a good position, both budgets benefit, not just all flooding into the education budget.
It's like common sense.
Yes. Thank you very much. Take us to a break, Copper, before we both lose our minds. Wow. All right, folks, listen, we're going to come back and we're going to kick off a segment. I'm calling it A Walk in Biden's World. We're going to have a short amount of time because Copper and I ran long opining about these budget issues, but we're going to start off with A Walk in Biden's World coming up next. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.